You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates. And Sarah's here today as well, taking care of things, trying to get our phone lines working. Phones are, you know, kind of those tricky things. Sometimes they work, sometimes they go down. But we've got some a remarkable story to share today about a professor who I think influenced the formation of many church workers, and very thankful for the way that one that he impacted me as a student, but also the many pastors that who serve, and other church workers who serve, who have served me, and they have been impacted by him as well. Joining me in studio today, the Reverend Charlie Henriksen, Charles Henriksen of St. Matthew Lutheran Church in Bon Terre, Missouri, and one of the hosts of Concord Matters. Pastor Henriksen, thanks so much for joining us today.
Tibi gratias ago. To thee I give thanks. That's a little Latin for you there, which I learned from Professor Frelick.
Professor Charles Frelick, he was a professor of biblical languages, theological languages, at Concordia University Chicago for many, many years. And we'll get a little of the history with him here in just a little bit. As soon as our phones come back, we have a guest joining us from Oak Lawn, Illinois, in just a little bit as well, as soon as our phone lines come back up. When did you study with Professor Frelick?
Twice. Now, I'd had Latin in high school first at Luther North High School, Luther High School North, in Chicago. And I had 2 years of Latin under my favorite teacher there, Mr. Nathaniel Grunst. I had signed up for Latin 3 at Luther North, but there were not enough kids to offer it, so I wasn't able to take Latin 3. But then when I went to what we call at the time Concordia Teachers College, River Forest, now known as Concordia University Chicago, I took a year of Latin again with Professor Charles Frelick. And that was during my undergrad days. After graduation, a few years later, I was thinking seriously about going to seminary, and I knew I would have to have Greek. So in my spare time, I took Greek with Professor Frelick a few years after graduation.
Were you planning on going to seminary to be a pastor at that point when you first started studying languages?
No, I was going to be a history teacher. That was my first love. And then later on, as great as that is, I saw the ministry of the gospel as even more important. And I seemed to do well at languages and knowing the Bible and so on. So that's when I knew I wanted to study Greek to see if I could handle seminary. And I did that under Professor Frelick, and it went very well.
I had the privilege of studying with Professor Frelick in 1995. I had gone to Concordia University River Forest, transferred in as a transfer student, planning on studying. At that time, was thinking about seminary, but wasn't absolutely certain. And so I studied Greek, and then the following year introduced Hebrew as well with Professor Jastrom.
Okay.
But Professor Frelick was so gracious. I was not the best student of languages. And he was so gracious with me as I embarked on this new adventure of learning a language. And I remember him sharing in class that if you had studied Latin, that that would be, you're going to be better off
yes.
if you studied Latin before studying Greek. And I had not, unfortunately, studied Latin prior to that. Why is studying languages so valuable to, to Christians and especially for church workers? Why is studying biblical languages or theological languages so helpful?
Well, first of all, the Bible is written in Hebrew and in Greek. So there are things you catch and notice by reading the text in the original language that you don't quite catch reading it just in an English translation. It'd be like, watching a baseball game in black and white on television versus watching a baseball game in person in the stadium. That's one analogy that is sometimes used. Because God gave his word to us in Hebrew and Greek, that's why traditionally our church, at least, requires our students, our pastors, to have studied Hebrew and Greek. As far as the other theological languages, Latin is the foremost, because it has been the language of the church, really, for, well, from about the year 300, I would say, to really the 1960s, after Vatican II changed the requirement of the Latin Mass. But in the Lutheran Church, I mean, Luther wrote in Latin, and I just heard this story the other day. I think it was in 1926, and Francis Pieper, one of the presidents of our seminary here in St. Louis, this may have been at the dedication of the new campus in Clayton, was giving an oration in Latin, and then people looked up, and there was an airplane flying overhead, and this was kind of the crossing of the eras. You know, it was expected that students coming to the seminary would know Hebrew, Greek, Latin, and German. Those were the four important languages, and so even into the 1920s, there were still lessons given in Latin.
Wow. So learning biblical languages certainly is important to the formation of church workers. But Sarah, now joining us in studio. Thanks for fixing the phone, Sarah.
You're welcome. I just ran.
So now you're all out of breath.
Had a nice deep breath before I walked in here, yeah. Good morning.
Good morning.
I've had coffee and a run.
you also studied at Concordia University.
Chicago. Mm-hmm.
Was it Concordia Teachers College when you were there?
Concordia Teachers College, River Forest. Then it became Concordia College, River Forest. Then Concordia University, River Forest. And now Concordia University, Chicago. But it's the same school.
Yeah, it is. Same campus.
Joining us by phone now, the Reverend Mark Burkholz. He's pastor at Faith Lutheran Evangelical Lutheran Church in Oaklawn, Illinois. Pastor Burkholz, thanks so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
You were a student, I think, also, I think we were in the same class studying Greek and studying theological languages with Pastor, or Professor Frelick. Tell us a little bit about, I know you've gotten to know him quite well through the years. Tell us a little bit about the history of Professor Frelick.
Sure. I was a student at Concordia University, River Forest, from 96 to 2000. I had Professor Frelick for a class every year. I had him for Latin my first year, freshman year. I had him for Greek my next 2 years. And then my final year, I did a senior honors project, just he and I one-on-one all year long. And I'd be happy to talk a little bit more about that. But Professor Frelick was at River Forest for about 40 years, from 1962 to 97. He technically retired, but he stayed and kept on teaching in retirement for many years before that. He grew up, he was born in Texas, a place called Goose Creek. I have no idea where that is. 1927, his father was a pastor, went to seminary, and decided that kind of teaching was going to be his thing. So he stayed on to get a second master's degree in the St. Louis area. He taught at Luther High School South there in St. Louis, both math and, I believe, some Latin and some languages as well. When all that kind of wrapped up in the St. Louis area, he came to River Forest. He taught there for, like I said, about 40 or so years. Finally, when he was no longer able to teach anymore, he moved back to Texas. He had some family down there where he lived out the rest of his life, passing away just a few weeks ago.
I don't know if we have any idea how many students he had. He'd ever
hundreds.
Taught hundreds of students at Concordia, and I didn't even realize that he had taught high school as well.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's amazing. One of those students joining us now, Melanie Sorensen. Melanie, thanks so much for joining us today.
So I was a student with Professor Frelick from 2002 through 2004. And it was a pretty incredible time. This dates me, but MySpace and Facebook were founded during my first and second years in college. And instant messaging was a big thing through AOL Instant Messenger. And all of these things just really were kind of changing the entire social structure of, I mean, really the world, which made Pastor Frelick's class either pure torture or the highest delight. I remember the very first day of class, he gave this long litany of his extremely rigorous expectations, along with demonstrations of what his class was going to be like in a very old school recitation and pronunciation, and then proceeded to give us the statistics for the number of students who were going to fail. And invited the students at that time to go ahead and dismiss themselves if this was not accommodating to them. And I remember half the class walked out.
Wow.
And it really was kind of one of those moments where you knew that you were signing up for something that was going to probably change your entire academic year. It was incredibly special of an opportunity for me because 6 months before I entered college at River Forest, my dad was killed in a plane crash. And my dad had confided in me just the week before he died that he was really hoping to sell his law firm. He was an attorney and he wanted to become a second career pastor and go to the seminary. And so when he died, there was this just kind of hunger in me to learn everything that I could of something that was so precious to my dad that he would have walked away from his career to continue to pursue it. And so I knew right then that I wanted to learn Greek. So I told Pastor Freilich that during my first week there. And from that moment on, my relationship with Professor was just such an incredible blessing to me because it felt like he knew the effort that it was taking every one of his students to dedicate that type of time to. And as time would have it, during his class, I fell in love with my husband, who was taking Greek right alongside of me. And I'll never forget when we got engaged, we came back to class. We had gotten engaged over Christmas break, and Professor Freilich noticed that my husband and I had moved from sitting on opposite sides of the room to sitting next to each other. And so the very next test we had, when he was called into his office to receive his test grade, my husband was surprised because he normally was given his test and sent out to the hallway to correct all his mistakes. And instead, Professor Freilich told him to take a seat. And he proceeded to ask him about his intentions with me and how he was going to provide for me as such a young man. And when he came out, he was beet red. And my husband said, he was like, I think he was kind of taking the place of your dad there and kind of giving me the one-up to see if I was going to be worthy of this. And it was just such a special and fun thing. And one of my other favorite memories about him was that there was a rumor going around campus that Professor Freilich was the disciple John, who had never passed away and was awaiting the resurrection. There were rumors that he had, like, ascended up stairways. There was one day that he walked into the room and me and several of the other students were looking down and studying our notes, and we would all swear to this day that the light turned on without him touching it. And it was such an incredibly amazing class. And I think what made him worthy of being considered the disciple whom Jesus loved was that he literally ate, slept, and breathed his devotion to the miracle of transplanting young hearts into the timelessness of God in his word through the study of Greek, obviously. And when I was in his class, I felt like I had stepped off earth and was walking with the church triumphant. It was an insanely rigorous time, but with it came the compassion and unconditional love that he gave to his students. And I really felt like through that, I finally understood that to be a Christian doesn't mean, I don't know, fitting God into my life and my existence, but being grafted into the infinite love of God and the depths of his love. And I will never forget those 2 years and the gifts that it imparted into my life. And when my husband and I graduated in 2005, I had just found out that I was expecting our first child. We had gotten married over the Christmas break in our last year. And so come graduation, I was newly pregnant. And I remember we went right away to tell him, and he rejoiced with us. And then we found out that shortly after that was when he stopped teaching. And that Christmas, I gave birth to my son, and we named him Isaiah Charles after Professor.
That's great.
So, yeah.
What a story. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Melanie.
Thank you so much for having me.
We have more to share about learning biblical languages, theological languages, why it's important, and how one professor impacted so many students. That's quite a story. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
We'll be right back.